Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you can take your seat, you can stay kneeling or whatever. You sense the Lord leading. My name is Delvin. I get the honor of serving here with our college and campus ministries. And I'm so glad to get a chance to share God's word with you tonight. We've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all enjoy this time with the Holy Spirit? Okay, nobody. So everybody online is cheering right now. Let me say this just real briefly. I grew up Catholic. So in a lot of ways, what Bethel is and who we are and how we live our life is really was a new experience for me as a college student. I came to Christ as a sophomore at Middle Tennessee State. We had just started a Bethel congregation there, now it's Bethel Community Church. And for me, the first time really encountering the power of God was as a college student. So I was new to all this. And some of you, maybe you've grown up in this church and this has been just you know, second nature for you. For me, it was, man, this was totally new. I never forget the first time hearing someone speak in a language that I knew I didn't know and I knew they probably didn't know either. And sitting in a prayer meeting and realizing, man, what just happened right there? And I remember, you know, my good old Catholic self, I had to go to the pastor later. I said, hold on now, what was that? And he said, well, that was tongues. You know, the Bible talks about it. I hadn't read the Bible before. And even the passages we're going to read tonight has to do with some of these different things. I didn't know God still gave gifts to people. I thought he just wanted me to just make it in life and figure it up at the end. And then I'd meet him, and then, you know, then I would really get to know what God was like. And, man, I'll never forget, he said, man, well, listen, let me, he just turned to the Bible real quick. He said, you know, the Virgin, you know, Mother Mary of Jesus, you know, she prayed in tongues too. And so he started taking me to the Bible, started walking through these different things. I said, wow, this is in the Bible. And I'll never forget just kind of one night being filled with the Holy Spirit. Last week, if you weren't here, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll never forget laying on my dorm room bed after watching and reading all these verses about the power of God and what he did in the Bible and me realizing, like, man, I've never seen this happen in church. I've never seen these things, like, happen in Christians' lives like today. I thought, again, you wear Christian T-shirts, you listen to Christian music, you eat Christian mints. Like, this is, the Christian life is just, you just make everything Christian and, man, no power is released in your life. And again, as I started reading scriptures, I found, man, the early church, this was the norm for them. And never forget, again, laying on my dorm room bed and being overwhelmed, just asking God, Lord, fill me with this power that I'm reading about from on high. And something different coming upon me, something I had not experienced before. Speaking in a language I had not learned before. No one trained me. No one jiggled my jaw to do. Listen, God was moving. I'm sharing just a couple of stories because this is giving you a little bit of context to our scripture we're going to read tonight. I'll never forget with some of my, I played football at Middle Tennessee State and meeting some reason, somebody got the good idea. Let's reach out to our teammates. We would do this all the time, so it wasn't like a new idea. No, I don't know. I think we need to get our teammates together and we should share our testimonies. Just pray for one another. I mean, as simple as vanilla as that sounded, we were scared to death to do it. And suddenly we actually did it. So we just kind of just rounded up everybody we could in the dorms and said, hey, guys, we're going to go meet in the at MTSU, Scarlet Commons in Building 1. We're going to meet in my friend Bo's room. And we're gonna meet and let's just get over there. So we rounded up this ragtag bunch of guys and, you know, different guys. Some of them knew the team. Some of them didn't, you know, just God, Jesus, help me in my sport. Oh, yeah, I'll come to that. And, man, we get in there, and it was simple. We just kind of sat around and just started telling testimonies about what God had done in each of our lives. Untrained. None of us had any education, no seminary, nobody taking us through classes. How do you do this? Just God in our heart, just a genuine love for people. And as we began to share our testimony, we just, nothing happened.
It was very, again, vanilla. Nothing. I mean, it was like, oh, what do y'all think about that? All the guys that weren't saved, and they just kind of, yeah, oh, that's cool. God did that for you. And then we stood up to pray. And we all, you know, again, these big buff guys and, you know, 200 plus pounds. I was always skinny. I know I look like a basketball player. I was the skinny guy, a football player in a basketball player's body. And so I'm standing, everybody else is 200, 300 pounds. I mean, just standing around these guys. And we're all just hold hands. And we said, let's just pray. We began to pray. You know, in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, it said there was a mighty rushing wind that came into this room where people were seeking God. And let me tell you, it happened there on that little dorm room floor, the second floor of building one of Scarlet Commons Club in Scarlet Commons Apartments there on campus. And let me tell you, I don't know what happened. I didn't sing Tongues of Fire, but man, all I know is 30 minutes later, this person's on the floor, snot bubbling. This person's over here. What's now our pastor in Murfreesboro, Brock Lillis, he had been crying out to God, wrestling with this whole baptism of the Holy Spirit thing. He in this moment, he just turns to God and just senses the Holy Spirit's presence. He just turns to God and says, God, will you fill me? God begins to fill him with this Holy Spirit that he had been told was the devil. That he'd been told, man, he'd run away from those people talking about tongues and other languages and stuff. That's not for today. That's dead and gone. And he said, in that moment, God filled him with the Holy Spirit. He began to speak in other tongues, and God called him into ministry all the same moment. And I'll never forget, I mean, again, God transforming lives. I'm here to tell you tonight that God is real. He's available to each one of us. And he wants to flow into us and out of us. I'm just going to read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to just pray, wind up spending some time in prayer tonight. Because I believe God still speaks, amen? God still works in people's lives, in believers' lives, in people that are hungry for him's lives in unique ways. And look what he says. This is Paul. He's talking to a church that they believed in the Holy Spirit too. They actually not just believed in the Holy Spirit, they had problems with their beliefs in the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to talk briefly about some of these gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, but this is what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1. It says, reading from the NIV translation, it says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul is addressing this church that had written him a letter first. So really, if it was, you know, 0.5 Corinthians, that this is what it would be the letter that Corinth wrote to him. And he's writing back 1 Corinthians saying, listen, this is what I'm addressing from all the things you wrote about. And Paul, if you read Corinthians, he just keeps saying this phrase, now about this you wrote about. Now about this, now about this. And he goes in here, now about the gifts of the Spirit. I want to talk about that with you guys. I don't want you to be uninformed. Look what verse 2 says. He says, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. You know, my first question tonight is are you pagan or are you Christian? Now, I've heard this word for years, and, you know, it was kind of like a curse word or almost like, you know, Republicans versus Democrats. You know, you got like Christians versus pagans, round one. Anytime you see the word pagan, or sometimes in the Bible you see the word Gentile, you know, in a similar kind of fashion. And I never knew what that meant. And here was what paganism really is I thought it was like people that just kind of worship trees, worship animals, worship creation. And in a general way, you could think of it that way. But another way I'll put it is this is a God that you get to choose how you worship. That's what a pagan really is. You get to, you see, in paganism, really, the world is a closed system, and everything that's created or uncreated is all in this system. And how you get to what you want is you just go through, you know, some magical means. You have a couple steps. Basically, what you do and what you achieve is what you receive. So if you want your daughter not to die, you go to, you know, in some countries, you go to the witch doctor, the shaman. And what would the shaman do? He'd tell you, okay, cut the head off of the chickens, wave it around the right way, and then throw it down this way, and then your daughter will be healed. And so people, you know, again, this is what paganism says. You do this, and then you'll get this desired end. Let me tell you, Christianity is not the same. Because here's the problem with paganism. These gods don't talk. How do you know if you're in here, you're living under paganism? How do you know if maybe you're living a pagan Christianity? Listen, you don't hear anything. You read the Bible, you get nothing out of it. You're praying to God, and it's like you're talking to a wall. So what is left to do is to let me jump three times on my right leg, turn the chicken around, and let me throw it down this way, and maybe I'll get what I want. And then here's the issue, though. You have to keep doing that. Okay, that didn't work three times on my right foot. Let me try three times on my left leg and turn to the left. It's a monotonous, dead religion. And this is what Paul is saying, is that there was a pagan life that they lived that led them to mute idols that were leading them astray. And listen, look what he says in verse 3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says as contrast. He said Christianity is really about a spirit coming inside of you and coming out of you in such a way that you're actually saying something. You're saying something that you've heard, that you now have realized as a result of who God is. I love what Pastor Bruce was teaching even Sunday about the Trinity and the importance of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. It's in here. Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There's different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Look what he says in verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Paul says real clear that one of the issues they were having is they were very divided. You read the whole book of Corinthians. They were having a real problem with unity. And you know what was causing the disunity? Each of them had different spiritual gifts. Each of them had different people that mentored them spiritually. And the devil was using that to actually separate them. And so they would talk about, man, this is my pastor. Pastor James, he my pastor. Boy, when he preached, woo, praise God. I feel the quickening of the Spirit in me to come. When Pastor Bruce gets up there now, oh my goodness, man, I can't. Oh. You see, they had this kind of pitting of different people, and then it trickled down into, man, I've got this gift of prophecy. Well, I've got tongues. And you know what would happen in their church services is they were actually interrupting each other with their different gifts. They were stopping the work of God, and they were making the Spirit all about them instead of all about God. Let me say it a different way, and this is the question, the other question I wanted to ask tonight is, is the Spirit about me or is it about we? Notice what Paul says. He says, God, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Here is God singularly giving the Holy Spirit and gifting people with his Spirit in unique ways individually, but yet it affects the corporate. In an individualized society like ours, we always want to focus on the me. Oh, Lord, will you give me that gift of healing, of prophecy, of tongues, whatever you fill in the blank. Lord, will you give me that blessing of the job? Lord, will you heal my fill in the blank? And oftentimes we're thinking me, not we. And when the Spirit comes, when it falls on a people, when it falls in the way that Paul is talking about here, people are given gifts and anointed in such a way that it's always about we. Is it about me? Yes, it's about you at this much, but really it's all about we. It's for the common good. Some of us in here, we've got spiritual gifts, but we haven't used them in a while. Some of us in here have never opened ourselves up to the reality that God might want to give me something that's not for me. Not for me. Some of us in here, we look down on what God has given us already, and that's what's actually stopping us from what God wants to give us. Scriptures say if you're faithful with a little bit, you'll be entrusted to much. Again, God gives
the Spirit for the common good. It's always manifested for the common good. Last but not least, we're going to read these last few verses, and then we're just going to spend some time praying and asking God what he wants to do. Verses 8 says, to one there's given the Spirit, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Here's the good news tonight, is that God wants to give you something. How many of y'all glad God's a giver? Let me tell you, he's given you more than you can count. God has given each one of us more than we can count. And he's gone even past that, and he says, I'm going to give you what you can never earn. I'm going to give you what you could never deserve. I'm going to give you the very same, we sang about it earlier, Spirit that raised me up from the dead. I'm going to give you the very same Spirit that will actually enable you to do the very type of ministry that I just did. Do you know that all of these gifts we just read, there's others that are listed in Romans 12. We'll continue this Holy Spirit series even into July, so we're going to continue to dig into some of these things. But let me tell you, all of these spiritual gifts you find in the life of Jesus, except for tongues. That's the one that's up for debate. These gifts you find, look, what I just described isn't just a person that, man, they got a nice show on TV, and man, they're televangelists. I just described the ministry of Jesus. To one, there's given the Spirit a message of wisdom. And Jesus told a woman at a well about herself. He had a message about who she was that nobody else knew, and she didn't know he didn't know her, and she knew he hadn't been to that town because he was Jewish, and so how would he know what he just told me, and how would he know some of these things? He's got to be the Messiah. She ran out of that place and went and told all of her friends, you got to come meet the Messiah. I think I found him. Another message of knowledge. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, these can be very connected. Man, the wisdom is, this is the right way to go. Knowledge is, this is what only God knows. Have you ever got something like that? Where God puts something in you and says, just that girl at the cash register, you need to ask her how her day's going. That person that's sitting next to you at church, they're about to end their marriage. You need to go say something to them. That neighbor across the street, you just need to pray for him right now, in the middle of the night, right now. Again, this is word of wisdom, word of knowledge in action. Lastly here, by the means of the same Spirit, to another, gift of faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy. You know, Jesus prophesied so many different things that have all come true, and there's still some that are still yet to come true. The destruction of the temple, so many things he prophesied. To another, distinguishing between spirits. Jesus would just call a demon, just get out. I'll get an amen later for that. Some of y'all has been a demon. That's what's messing with you. That's why you're here tonight, is because there's a demon messing with you. And you need somebody that can call that demon out and say, go. Not, let's talk about the demon. Let's think about the demon. Let's call, what's the name of the demon? Oh, that's your name. Oh, wow. No. We just need to tell them to leave. Right? And to still another interpretation of tongue, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He distributes them each one just as he determines. Here's my question tonight. Is the Spirit flowing to you or through you? That's what these gifts represent. God's love to someone else. And it's such a powerful way that it actually opens this person up to worshiping God, seeking God in a whole new manner. These gifts open people's hearts. I've seen it so many times on campus. I've seen it so many times in lost people's lives. I've seen it so many times in Christians' lives. These gifts are normal. Normal in our church. We've got only a few minutes left, but I want us to stand and pray. And here's the thing I want us to spend some time praying these last moments about. Lord, will you, if you're in here tonight, you say, you know what, I don't even know my gifts. I don't know if I've ever had the Holy Spirit flow out of me. I mean, I've been nice to people or I've prayed for people. Maybe I know God is real, but man, I've never seen him operate and just use me completely. Say it a different way, the ministry of Jesus, I don't see any of that stuff in my life. You can go ahead and stand to your feet. I'm going to take a moment to pray. Maybe you're also here, and like I was saying, maybe you're living that pagan life. You're trying to control God. I didn't even contrast it, but let me tell you, Christianity is all the opposite of all that stuff. You don't get to God and act for him. You actually receive what he has already done for you. See, God's outside of the box. He's not in the box. I get to do this, to get what I want. No. God is outside of the box. He's outside of creation, but yet he has now entered himself into creation through Jesus Christ. That means it's not about act or achieve to receive. It's all about believe and receive. Let me tell you, that'll change you right there. If you understand that the Holy Spirit is not given because, man, you do some good actions and some good deeds, and man, you finally learn up enough scriptures and you finally get up the courage and all self-help. No. It's the opposite. It's you actually believe, Lord, you actually want to give me yourself. You want to give me your power. Let me tell you, this conviction hit me when I was in college. I realized I had, even in my Christian life, I was a natural man. And God wanted to make me to be a spiritual man. Are you a natural Christian? Just trying to be nice? Just trying to make it through? Just trying to get through the next thing? Let me tell you, God wants to give you power. He wants to release gifts to you and through you. Second group of you is you just need to be activated. It's time you already had gifts. It's time to exercise them. It's time to let God use you. We're going to take a few minutes right now and just pray. Just pray. Lord, I just thank you right now for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for the church in Corinth, Lord, is the same for us, Lord, that you desire to manifest yourself for the common good. Lord, you desire to put yourself on display, Lord, not so anyone in here can get glory, but so that you get the maximum glory. Lord, I'm praying right now for my friends that, Lord, they've been walking around trying to customize their life, trying to customize and achieve things so that they can receive. Lord, I thank you tonight. It's not about achieving anything. Lord, it's simply believing and receiving what you've done. I want you right there, right where you're at. Receive from God. Receive from God. What do you say? Receive what? Receive the Holy Spirit. You say, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? You just ask. Ask and you shall receive. I prayed that earlier. Ask and you shall receive. He's giving it to himself to you right now. Reach out and grab him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you right now for your Spirit. Lord, that's available to every single person in here. Lord, I thank you, Lord. It's not based off of what we do. Lord, it's based off of what you did. Lord, it's not based off of how good we are. Lord, it's based off of how good you are. Lord, it's not based off of how holy we are. It's based off of how holy your Spirit is. And I thank you tonight, Lord, you're bringing, Lord, a fresh spirit of holiness upon us. Lord, a fresh sense of your presence. Lord, you're overtaken. Lord, I thank you tonight that there's some of us in here that this is the difference between the sin that you've been struggling with is more of his holiness. It's not more techniques. It's growing further in the power of God. Lord, I thank you even for the gifts that you're releasing right now. If you want a gift from God, I just want you to reach out right now and receive it by faith. Receive it by faith. In fact, turn to one person near you and begin to pray for them right now.
Don't ask them what to pray for. I want you to pray whatever God is putting on your heart. Let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit move you. Let the Spirit be the one that's leading you in your prayers. Yeah, he's still talking. Listen to him. Pray that scripture over them. Pray what you're seeing over them. Thank you, Lord. Breakthrough, Lord. Real quick, we're going to dismiss here. Listen, we're going to continue kind of this atmosphere of ministry and seeking the Lord. If you're in here tonight, you say, you know what, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You say, how do I know if I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit? If you don't know, that's a good sign you have not been. Okay, let me help you. If you need prayer, you're ready tonight, say, you know what, again, I didn't go through it. We talked about it last week. We can talk through the scriptures and stuff and explain it to you later. But if you say, man, I've never had an experience where the power of God has been released through my life. Everyone who is baptized by the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, in the scripture, something happened to them and through them. It wasn't, just they got a tingly. It never said that in the scripture. I got a tingly. Something happened to them and through them. And again, if that's not happened to you, some of our leaders, we'd love to be down here to pray for you, okay, after service here. Secondly, a little bit of homework. How many of y'all enjoyed this little exercise tonight? God used you to speak to someone, give you a scripture, okay? How many of you, did God give you maybe a picture of something to pray over someone or something that you saw? Anybody? Again, you're not more spiritual if you didn't or not. Listen, this is how God works. Here's your homework. Find somebody, either at your work, in your neighborhood, maybe you go in school, in your class or whatever. Find somebody to pray with this week. Ask God to lead you to somebody that you could pray with the Spirit-led prayer with. Maybe it's, again, a vision, a dream, something for someone else. Again, the Holy Spirit is given to advance the kingdom, not just for the church to play in the kiddie pool with. Amen? And so, that's what this is all about, an exercise to get you practicing for the real game, which is to reach the world. Amen? Amen. God wants to use you. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to dismiss and go relieve our children's workers. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you tonight for who you are. We thank you for manifesting your spirit for the common good. Lord, I thank you. You didn't send your spirit to judge us, belittle us, to make us feel lesser than. You sent your spirit to give us the power so that we could overcome, Lord, everything that we face. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I pray, Lord, as we leave out of here today, Lord, you would continue to give us that reminder, God, that we've been empowered. Lord, we have a sound mind, and Lord, we love others, and we love you. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in our church. Lord, I pray you would release every single member, Lord, into the ministry that you've called them to in the power of the Holy Spirit to walk as Jesus did. Lord, we love you. We thank you tonight for all that you're doing. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone say it with me, amen and amen. Listen, you're dismissed. If you need prayer, we're here. We love you.